Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, our world, even our faith tradition, has a proclivity to gravitate towards escapism. I want you to think about this concept of escapism this morning. Our world has a proclivity to lean toward escapism, and you see it in some of the classic marketing. Does anybody remember the commercial way back in the 1960s and 70s? Calgon, take me away! Do we remember that? Do you remember this? This is like literally ripped from the interwebs this morning. Calgon, take me away. You know, we find ourselves in situations in life where it's just like, oh, I just want Calgon to take me away. And it's all about finding escape from the circumstances and escape from this world so that we can find comfort. A lot of times we find ourselves in the middle of our lives and things are going haywire and things are going wrong. And the thought in our mind is, Lord, anywhere but here. Has anybody been there before? Anywhere but here, Lord. Sometimes when we get into emergencies and we cannot help ourselves and we do not know how to get out of the situation ourselves, what do? We call 911. Some of you, we need to practice that. We might go into stop, drop, and roll before this sermon series is over too. Get me out of here. 911. Help. Help me. And even Christians, don't you find yourself in this world today with all the things going on in headlines, with all of the sin and the wickedness that's out there? Sometimes we just shake our heads and find ourselves thinking that this world is going so crazy. What do we say as Christians? We say, Jesus, come quickly. That is, we are quoting scripture, right? Jesus, come quickly. We are infatuated as human beings with the notion of escape. This notion of escape. We're in love with the fantasy of getting away. Anybody like to go on vacation? Amen. Everybody likes to go on vacation. I want to get away from it all. Jimmy Buffett. I know Pastor Ed. Jimmy Buffett fan, right? Parrot head? Pastor Ed's our resident parrot head. Jimmy Buffett passed away Labor Day weekend. And a lot of us grew up listening to Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett built a music and entertainment career around a culture of escape. He tapped into this notion that we have in our heads that we want to get away from it all, escape the 9-to-5 workaday culture that we live in. And his music is so popular because it taps into that notion of escapism. And there's this entire cult, I won't call them a cult, but there's this entire following of Jimmy Buffett. They call themselves, they're the parrot heads. They call themselves parrot heads. They gather at concerts and festivals around the world. You go to vacation destinations around the country, and in almost every major city where there's a major destination, there is a hotel that is called Margaritaville. Wasting away in Margaritaville. Jimmy Buffett understood the psychology of escapism. Get me out of here. Call 911. The desire to get away, to escape from it all. And he tapped into this mindset that's embedded in each and every one of us. That human desire to escape from hardship, to survive. And that resonates with us very strongly in his music that remains, even though the man himself passed away on Labor Day weekend. Even our Christian tradition, even our Christian faith focuses on this whole notion of escapism this morning. You know, we do church and we study the Bible and we have a narrative in our brains that we talk about in our heads. And sometimes I think it's really healthy to step back from that and make sure that what we're focused on is the right thing. That's what I want to do this morning for just a couple of moments. Down through the centuries, Christians everywhere have pined for the return of who?
Jesus.
Yes, we pine for the return of Jesus Christ to deliver his people from oppression and from hardship, the oppression and hardship of this broken creation. And we have our own songs about this. We talk about Jimmy Buffett this morning, wasting away in Margaritaville. We have our songs. How great thou art. We get to that final verse of great, how great thou art. You all are on your feet, on your tippy toes, with your hands in the air. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation. Right? You almost stood up there. I saw some of you getting, hey, man. Get me gone. When we all get to heaven. When we all get to heaven. See, there we go. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll. Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, Christians, we have coined an emotionally packed word to describe that moment of escape when Jesus shall return and come back and gather his followers. That moment of escape from the bonds of this earth is not just described as rapture or rapturous. It's described as the rapture. The rapture. The Oxford Dictionary defines the word rapture as a term to describe an intense feeling of joy. An intense feeling of joy. Our faith, our Christian faith, and I'm not being critical, I'm just kind of pointing out to you what's happening here. Our Christian faith equates intense joy with our prime desire, that innate desire for escape. Escape. Many Christians today are fixated on this notion of escape. We're just living for the day that Jesus comes back, right? We're excited for the day that Jesus comes back. You know, and we're not really afraid of death because that means we're going to be reunited with our Savior. That is good news. Amen? We're fixated on this notion, and we should be in a healthy way fixated on, hey, I need to prepare my life so that when Jesus comes back, I'm ready. I need to be ready. But sometimes I think we can have an unhealthy fixation with this notion of escapism. And you're like, where are you going with this morning, Pastor? As a matter of fact, I think there's an entire generation, starting with my generation, kids born in the late 1960s, 1970s, working all the way through the 2000s. There's an entire generation of us. There's an entire generation of us who have an unhealthy fixation on the rapture. I grew up with Hal Lindsey's books about how the world was going to end. And I remember when I was a teenager being scared to death that the world Armageddon was going to happen September 4th, 1988. There was a book about it. They were passing it out at camp meeting up at St. Mary's. Everybody's making a big hoot about how somebody had unlocked the key on when Armageddon was going to happen and Jesus was going to return. That was 30 odd years ago almost. And here we are again. We have all been fixated. There was a movie that we watched in youth group when I was a teenager. About the rapture. And it was kind of scary. I remember being scared out of my brain watching that movie. And then Tim LaHaye wrote this series of books back in the late 90s called Left Behind. Kirk Cameron starred in the movies. And instead of reading their Bible, people got fixated on this entertainment, this kind of like horror movie, shock movie entertainment. And even the church buys into this notion that, oh my gosh, you know, we get over-obsessed. When's Jesus coming back? When's Jesus coming back? People are doing the math, looking at the stars, calculating. As a matter of fact, yesterday Israel went to war with the Hamas, and I saw on the online, oh, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the end. Well, is it? Maybe. Are you ready? That's the point. That's the point of it all. As a faith tradition, it could be argued, if you lay the evidence out, that we as a faith tradition are more fixated on escapism than on addressing the need for the kingdom to come into the community that we live in. We're more concerned about Jesus come quickly and bring your broom and clean up on aisle 7 so I don't have to get my hands dirty and engaged in the building of the kingdom right where I live today. Maybe if we just wait long enough, Jesus will come back. Am I stepping on any toes? You got your shoes on this morning? I don't. Followers of Jesus, we have to be careful. It is not bad to pine for and anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's what gives us hope, right? But we have to be very careful that something so good is not twisted into something that gets us focused on the wrong things as we are trying to learn how to become disciples of Jesus and to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth here partnering with God. For followers of Jesus, yes, we're all human. We want to escape. But if instead of escapism, we need to be making sure that we're also focused on another word that starts with E, endurance. Hanging in there. This morning, I want to spend just a couple of moments today wrapping up our study of Paul's letter to Titus. And over the past several times I've been here with you, we've highlighted the reality that we are not just saved to go to heaven. Getting saved is not just a ticket to go to heaven. It's not just, hey, I know Jesus is my personal Savior. Now I'm just going to go live my life. You know? And at the end, I'll just pull my insurance policy out. As a matter of fact, we've learned that God, and it's very intentionally laid out in this letter, God has work for us to do while we wait. While we wait for the return of Jesus, God has work for us to do, and that work does not look like sitting around trying to figure out when he's coming back. Jesus said, quit wasting your time. Just be ready. And you know what being ready looks like? Being ready looks like doing the work we've been called to here and now while we wait. Amen. While we wait. As followers of Jesus, our job isn't just to try to survive this world. I'm going to play the long game. I'm just going to try to survive. I'm going to try not to sin. I'm going to try not to mess anything up. I'm going to play what the Cleveland Browns fans very well know is prevent defense in my spiritual life. Got a couple of them out there. Boy, it hurts to be a Browns fan. God does not intend for us just to survive. God's will for people who are following Jesus is for us to be transformed from the inside out so that we can thrive. Amen. Here and now in this world. Becoming the people we were intended to be. And over the past few weeks, we've been learning what it means to thrive. What it means to become a person filled with the Holy Spirit. Looks like self-control. We talked a little bit about self-control a couple weeks ago. It looks like temperance. You are setting the temperature around you as a follower of Jesus. Did anybody feel like a thermostat this last week? A little bit more mindful of the fact that you're setting the temperature, the spiritual temperature for everyone around you. And this week I want to spend some time in these next few moments just exploring the reality that becoming holy looks like endurance. Pastor, where's that in the scripture? Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 has been our focus and kind of the core of what we're doing. I'm telling you, if you want to get all of these messages reinforced, just read Titus chapter 2. It's all coming from Titus chapter 2. And Titus chapter 2, verse 2, Paul is telling Titus, teach the church to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith and love, and in endurance. Three big things. We spend a lot of time in church talking about things like faith and talking about things like love, which is great. But for some reason, Paul tells Titus to focus on self-control, temperance, and endurance as he's building up the church in Crete. We haven't spent enough time talking about these things because these are things that help us understand what holiness, practical holiness, looks like in our lives when we're learning to follow Jesus. And when I look at a lot of your lives, I see these things, which encourages me. I see these things, but we all need more of the Spirit so that we can grow in these things. Endurance. Endurance isn't just about hanging in there until Jesus comes back. It's not just about surviving. It's about endurance. It's about being consistent over a long period of time. Being able to sustain. Are we able to hold good form over a long period of time, or do we stumble and fall? Right, because we have weak backs or weak knees or weak ankles, spiritually speaking. Do we have bad habits that trip us up or undermine our ability to sustain our spiritual walk over time? You know, I want you to think about this morning. When we are inconsistent in our faith walk, when we are inconsistent, and I'm not just talking about when we're inconsistent about attending church. I'm talking about the day-to-day, every day following Jesus in your life. When the way we're living our lives is not consistent, when we are inconsistent frequently, we will lack endurance. When we are inconsistent, where we're not intentionally trying to follow Jesus and live into our faith, we are going to fall. And when we're inconsistent, whether we realize it or not, we undermine our own testimony before others. I screw this up all the time. You know, Pastor Vicky can tell you, I'm the biggest screw up in the world. You know, it's like you say one thing and then you do another, and it's like, well, what in the world are you doing? You know, are we consistent? When we're inconsistent in our faith walk, at home, in front of our family, what message are we sending them? Right? We talked a little bit about this last week. We need to be consistent so we don't undermine our own testimony and the testimony of the gospel before others. Your spiritual life matters to the people around you, folks. We've been talking about this all year. You may think it's all just about you, but your spiritual life, the decisions you make, have an impact on the people around you. The key to endurance is resiliency. The key to endurance is resiliency. How fast, resiliency, how fast do we snap back to form when we mess up? Anybody mess up this week? Some of you are honest. The rest of you can raise your hand because you just messed up. When we mess up, you know, endurance is about how quickly do we snap back? How quickly do we get back on the path? That's what I've learned in my spiritual walk, is that recognizing I screwed up, and then how quickly do I want to get back in alignment with Jesus with a heart of repentance? That's what this is about. Because we make mistakes. We're human. That's going to happen. Sometimes when we're immature in our spiritual walk, we make a mistake and people fall away from Jesus. For some reason or another, they don't feel worthy enough or whatnot. The more we walk with Jesus, the more we grow in our faith, the more we build endurance spiritually in our lives, that's going to look like snapping back to good form and getting back on the right path with Jesus. Recognition, repentance, and recommitting ourselves to the right path. That's what endurance looks like. How do we handle our foibles when we mess up? Do we own it? Are we grown up enough to own our mistakes? Are we humble enough to say it out loud? I messed up. I remember Fonzie. Remember Fonzie on Happy Days? He couldn't say he was wrong. He's like, I'm wrong. I remember that episode. Sorry, dating myself again. Are we respectful enough of others to apologize when we mess up? It's part of this bouncing back. It's part of bouncing back and getting back and snapping back on the path. Spiritual endurance looks like being willing to apologize. Does it take the prompting of someone else to do these things? I'll be really honest with you. Sometimes it does for me. God bless you. Sometimes it does. God bless you again. Pastor Vicky does this all the time, Patty. And you know, for her, it's sevens. You think I'm kidding. Does it take prompting from someone else to get us to realize that we were wrong, or do we have it built within us to be accountable? We're all human. We're all going to have bad days. The enemy would love for us to be in denial and to move on and fall away. That's not spiritual endurance, folks. That is giving up. For those growing in love and authority in Christ, we have to learn to humbly recover, to snap back into form when we falter. We have to be resilient in our attitude. Every day is a new opportunity to walk with Jesus. Amen? Every day is a new opportunity to walk with Jesus, to choose to endure, to be resilient, to snap back into form. Will we choose to get up and move forward, or are we going to let the enemy win and be taken down by the enemy? Endurance. Endurance is important for us to successfully run our race. If you're following Jesus, you're running that race. and some of us are like really fast, and some of us are at the back of the pack just going, oh my gosh, I'm just trying to keep up here. Following Jesus, folks, is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Okay? I never ran high school track, but I know the difference between a marathon and a sprint. I remember for phys ed in like the fifth and sixth grade, they would have us run the 50-yard dash or the 100-yard dash, right? And those were easy. And then they made us run a mile. I don't know if anybody remember that. Hey, can you run a mile? And I was like, oh boy, I was never a runner. I never did anything like that. I never came close to walking or running a marathon. A marathon is 26 miles, right? 26-mile journey. In a few weeks, I have several friends that are going to don their running shoes, and they're going to run in the Nationwide Children's Hospital Marathon in downtown Columbus. I've got a lady on my team. She's much younger than I am, and she, the last time she ran the Columbus Marathon, I think she got her personal best running time. Just ran for 26 miles. And, you know, when you're running a marathon, you don't just show up. You don't just show up and go, I'm ready to go, coach, because this is what I would do, right? You know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do the marathon. And about a block down the road, I'd be on the curb sitting there winded. They don't just show up and do their best. They don't look for excuses to escape the commitment that they made to run the race. They've been in training. And not just for a couple of weeks. This lady that I work with, she's been in training for months to get ready for this race that she's going to run, building up the stamina and the endurance to run her best 26-mile race. She completely understands the difference between preparing for a 50-yard dash and a marathon, a 26-mile battle. I think it's interesting that so many people today struggle in their journey with Jesus because they don't understand the difference between a sprint and a marathon. You're running your race. You're not running a sprint with Jesus. This is a marathon. Some people make a decision for Jesus based on emotion. It's an emotional decision, and they attempt to follow Jesus getting up from that altar in that emotional moment. They attempt to walk out the door and live for Jesus under their own power. They just try to do it. They try to ride that emotional wave, and we all know what happens to that emotional wave, that emotional high that we find ourselves on. At some point in time, as high as we can get that low too, right? That much lower. The problem is we aren't built to successfully follow Jesus, to endure under our own power. And that's what Paul wants us to learn. We're not built to do this under our own power. And these people who make that emotional decision at the altar, they're kind of like a bottle rocket on the 4th of July. Wait, anybody play around with bottle rockets? Yeah, a couple of us have. Yeah, I see fingers pointing at some gentlemen in our congregation. These people, their faith is like a bottle rocket. You know, you stick the rocket in the bottle, the little wooden thing in there, and the wick is lit, and the sparks fly. The rocket goes up in the air really fast, and it gets maybe 50, 75 feet in the air, and it goes, psh, and that's it. Bottle rocket faith. A lot of sizzle at the beginning, a poof, and a snap, and then it's done. Bottle rocket, it's dazzling, but it goes nowhere because it's driven by emotion. It's not driven by the Spirit. A bottle rocket is not made to endure the journey. It's not going to cut it. It lacks the power. It's not made for it. It's not made for the journey. Others make a decision for Jesus. Maybe initially it's made on emotion. Or maybe in that same moment when the emotion is there, they're figuring out in their minds that this is actually something that requires a greater surrender, a greater submission to the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives that has to take place in order to stay the course. They recognize that they don't have the power within themselves to do this. They have to believe and have faith and put their trust in Jesus to run this race successfully, so they make the commitment. They upgrade. Kids these days are all about upgrading on the video games, right? Get to the next level, upgrade to the next thing. PJ knows exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Making a commitment, PJ, making a commitment to Jesus in your life is like upgrading to the next level in a video game, except it's better. It's better. See, even a kid can understand this, folks. It's about following Jesus, being able to endure is about upgrading. It's about upgrading. They make the commitment, and by giving their whole self to Christ in full submission and surrender, they're able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The big bad boss that we have to get past to be able to upgrade is really our selfishness. We have to surrender ourselves in order to upgrade. When we do that, we're no longer living for ourselves. Instead, we're choosing to live, to be driven by a power outside of ourselves, the love, the other-centered love of Jesus Christ. Bottle rocket faith, emotional spark, poof, it's done. But people who upgrade and submit to Jesus, they're people who are like the Saturn V rocket that went to the moon back in 1969. This is a picture of the Saturn V. 15, 20 stories tall. Most of that rocket was made to get just the tiny top of it to the moon and back. 80% of that vehicle was made to get the thing off the ground and into orbit. It was made for the journey. The Saturn V rocket was built specifically to go to the moon. And when the ignition was lit, it wasn't just a little sizzle and a pop. It made the ground shake for miles around. Wish it could have been there. Vicki and I went and saw the IMAX movie of the Apollo program a couple of years ago. And even being in the theater and feeling the shake of the rocket through just the IMAX theater experience, it's like, oh, you want to be there. When the Orion launches at some point, I would love to be there. When that thing goes to the moon, it's going to be incredible. The ignition's lit, earth-shaking powers unleashed, tremendous powers released to propel the mission successfully forward. As we consider this concept of endurance this morning, we have to answer the question. You have to answer the question. Do I have bottle rocket faith? Or have I upgraded? Do I have moon rocket? You need to have moon rock. You need to upgrade, church, if you're going to make it on this journey. If you're going to endure, you cannot rely on your own power. You cannot rely on emotion. We need to upgrade to God's best in our lives. And sometimes we find ourselves sputtering on the launch pad in our spiritual life because we refuse to submit and surrender our whole self to God so that we can receive, so that we can upgrade into His best in our lives. If we try to do it on our own emotion, we will not be able to endure. If we try it on our own emotion, guess what? Our emotions are going to drive us to want to escape, to survive. But when we submit to Jesus, we're not all about escaping to survive. We're about embracing the cross so that we can thrive into His best for our lives. Do you have moon rocket faith driving your spiritual walk today, or bottle rocket faith? Endurance. Remember, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And, you know, one of the things I just want to leave you with this morning is, what does this look like in real life? What does Holy Spirit-powered endurance look like in real life? And Pastor Vicki and I were talking about this week, and I was trying to find a good story, and I thought, oh my gosh, I had this epiphany. Friday night, Saturday morning, you are the picture of endurance. Many of you are the picture of endurance. And three ways to just give you a real life example of what endurance, spiritually driven endurance, looks like. Number one, adaptability. Adaptability. Are you able to adapt? And when I look at Maplewood, how many have lost a loved one in the last 7 years since we've been here? Oh my goodness, look around. Everybody has. We've all lost someone in our lives. We've all suffered grief. We're all grieving. It hurts. We miss them. But we endure. Because we are driven by our faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that death does not have the final say. Amen. We have a hope that shines brightly in our hearts that cannot be quenched, even by death itself. We have learned to adapt. Even with those loved ones not here with us anymore, that empty chair at the table or in the living room, we miss the phone calls, the visits, but we've learned to adapt. And it's not just because we're strong in our own power. The power of the Holy Spirit helps us to adapt to that loss, to endure and to move forward and stay on course in our race with Christ. Adaptability. Endurance looks like adaptability. Maplewood, when I look at you all, we're like a grief support group together. You know, we really are. We endure together through our faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. I see you living this out. And I am so thankful for each and every one of you. Endurance looks like adaptability. Endurance looks like flexibility. Be flexible. Flexibility. You know, and I'm not like really flexible these days because I'm recovering from surgery. I'm looking forward to getting my flexibility back. But when I was looking for pictures of endurance out in the world, the Spirit just pointed me right to this faith community. You've demonstrated such flexibility over the past 3 years. How flexible are you? What does flexibility look like? Your crazy pastors having you do church outside on the lawn during the pandemic. You know? It was complicated. It wasn't perfect. We found a way. And some of you are like, when are we going to do that again? Because that was kind of fun. We did it for a period of time because that's what we had to do. We were flexible. Right? We were flexible. We changed the way that we did church for almost a year and a half, almost 2 years. We were online. Many of you learned how to get on Facebook, and now you're pros at it. Zoom, you're pros at it. Still working on Chuck Ryder. I'm trying to get him there. But Chuck's flexible too. I know he is. I know his story. Flexibility. When I look at, for an example of endurance, we endured through a global pandemic together. Not under our own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that. And I believe that because we endured through that period of time, God is positioning us for the next chapter of Maplewood, and it's really exciting. You have endured. And you know, the pandemic was one of those moments when the entire world was under extreme stress and the worst came out of people. But the best came out of people. We saw the best come out of you. We saw the best come out of one another. And it wasn't driven by anything but the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. That was the Holy, you're like, those Holy Spirits never worked. Yes, the Holy Spirit has worked in your life. God is faithful. He helps us to endure times of great trial by teaching us flexibility. Amen. The flexibility to endure. And finally, the final example I thought about, what does endurance look like? It looks like remaining faithful, even in hard times. And I look at the Maplewood Faith family. I look at the people who are here, and some of them aren't here with us anymore. They've gone on to greater glory. They've passed on. But, you know, when I think about this church, and Pastor Vicki and I arrived here in August of 2016, right? And there was a long period of time there where you did not have pastoral leadership. That would be very easy to pull the eject button, to pull the parachute, you know, and go, right? To just eject and leave. But I see a group of people who remained faithful, remained committed to the core of what this faith community is all about. And because that group, it could have all fallen, the wheels could have fallen off. It may have felt like the wheels were falling off at that time, right? It may have felt like it, but even though the wheels felt like they were falling off, there wasn't escapism, there was endurance that was coming into play through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's beautiful. You endured. The core was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and because of that commitment to this ministry, here we are today. Here we are today. Looks a little different, different configuration of people, but Maplewood's thrive. Maplewood is positioned for the future. Maplewood is positioned for the next chapter. Escape, folks, is not our calling. We are not called to escape. Yes, Jesus is going to come back someday, but I can't pin all of my energy and hopes on hoping it's today or tomorrow. What Jesus wants me to focus on is building his kingdom here on earth while we wait. And that takes endurance. That takes help. That takes a power from outside of us to come into us and help us, just like he's helped us in the past through these examples that I just showed to you. God is working in and through you. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
God has been working in and through you. And I don't know, maybe somebody here has been running from something, just wanting to escape it here lately. But maybe this morning God's trying to tell you, quit running. Stop trying to escape the situation you're in. Maybe it's time to trust in me like you have in the past. Maybe it's time to endure. I do not want you to let your life song be I'm wasting away in Margaritaville. That's not God's will for your life. He calls us to endure. The faithful will endure. The saints will endure. Maplewood is a church of endurance.
Amen.
You really are. I'm proud of the way that this church has endured over the years, many challenges. And it's going to take the same type of endurance, the same type of commitment for God to use us to take this ministry into its next chapter. Do you believe he can do it?
Amen.
Yes, I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. I'm excited about what God wants to do through a people who are self-controlled, through a people who are temperate, setting the temperature, to a people who are enduring whatever life throws at them while they wait for the coming of the blessed hope of Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.